All right, so I'm going to start off by introducing myself. I am Terry Caldwell. I am married to Ben Caldwell, who is on the elder team here. And so I'm learning what that looks like to step into the role of elder wife, which can feel like a really overwhelming title, if I'm honest. And so I'm just learning how to step into that and to support Ben and to be a partner with him in that ministry. We have five precious kiddos. We have a 9-year-old boy, an almost 8-year-old girl. So Cade, Callie, Kaylin is 6, Cora Beth is 4, and then our little bookend boy, Cannon, is 2. So I do the part-time homeschool thing through Coram Deo Academy, just right across the street here, which we adore, love. It's been a really sweet fit. I felt like the Lord put on my heart to homeschool, and with my strong-willed kid, I was like, I think I'm going to need a little help with that. And so Coram Deo has been a great partnership. And so I've really, really loved that. Would be happy to talk to anybody if y'all are considering anything like that in the future, if you feel like the Lord's calling you to that, because clearly the Lord calls us to lots of different ways of schooling our children. But that just kind of a little bit paints a picture of our crazy in our house. It is a zoo with our five kiddos. It is the hardest season of my life. It is the best season of my life. And so I'm excited to get to talk to you a little bit, but I also wanted to start off and just share that I'm coming off like a really hard parenting day. And so we just got back from this amazing trip in the Smoky Mountains. We took an RV. This is our second RV trip. We're loving the RV life. We rented one, went to the Smoky Mountains. It is gorgeous. If you've never been, highly recommend it. We saw some black bears. It was incredible. Some amazing waterfalls. It was good for my kiddos to get outside, get their bodies moving. It was wonderful. But on the way back, I don't know about y'all, like I forget that on the way back from road trips, like it is just kind of the worst, you know, like on the way back, like you're not excited to get anywhere. You're sad the trip's over. Like everybody's just done and we're tired and exhausted. And I was also like wrapping up and practicing this talk. So I really needed them to be quiet so I could focus, which is like never a good expectation, right? And so it was just a rough parenting day. I mean, I was so stressed. I wasn't on my game discipline-wise. We woke up early to get moving, and we just were all out of sorts. I mean, at one point, I'm trying to do my talk. One of my kids is throwing, like, cards at other siblings, like playing cards. Two girls are fighting over an iPad, which they don't get a lot of iPad time, so I was like, you're getting iPad time. Like, why are we arguing, you know? And then, like, another one's trying to play peacemaker, and the baby or the toddler, he's yelling because he dropped something, and he's strapped into his car seat and can't get it. And so it just was chaos, and I just like wanted to check out. Like I just was like, I'm done. I remember we were at a truck stop and I just like walked out of the RV and Ben's like, where are you going? I was like, I'll just be back. I'll be back in a moment. You know, I'm just walking and I'm like, this is not the best spot, this truck stop, you know, but like I just needed a moment and I just was not on my game and my kids were crazy. And then we get home and I look at everybody and I'm like, okay, we got this whole RV. We got to return it to its owner. I need everybody to help when we get home. Everybody raise your right hand and say, I will help get things out of the RV. Okay, we get there. Does anybody do it? No, not one of them. And so I'm like, kiddos, like we've got it. But like I'm trying to get stuff out, but I'm trying to get them to obey. And it was just chaos. And then my son won't pick up a pink jacket because it's pink and he thinks pink is disgusting. And I'm like, like I'm going to go crazy. And I yell at him. And I just was not on my best parenting game. I also will say that I was not super consistent with my quiet times because it's just you're out of sorts on vacation, right? And so I was not being filled up like the way I usually am. And so I am coming off a really hard parenting day where I did very little of what I'm going to talk to you about today. And so I just confess, like, I am in it with y'all. Like, I am speaking these truths to myself because I need them just as much as y'all. I mean, I have young kids just like y'all. And so I'm not above anybody. I am not like nothing. Like I am just with y'all in the fight. And so just want to be honest there and confess that to y'all. So for the last decade, I have been either pregnant or nursing one of these precious five kiddos. And now that the baby season is officially over, we are officially done with, at least that's our plan. Hopefully the Lord doesn't surprise us. And if he does, we'll take it. But if we're officially done. And now I'm attempting to keep some plants alive. And so, because I've not been able to even keep anything alive other than like little humans, right? And so I've got a couple plants. I kept those alive for a few months. And there's this one place in my house that I really wanted a big tree. And so I started researching what it would take to care for a tree. I mean, do y'all know about, like, trees are hard to keep alive. Like, it is no joke, right? They need specific soil. They need specific watering, Some need to be pruned a lot, some just a little bit. Like, it's a whole thing to have a real tree. Like, specific lighting they need, specific distance from windows. I mean, it's just a whole thing. And so as I was sitting there preparing for this talk, and I was sitting next to this beautiful fiddle fig that we just got and that I'm attempting to keep alive, the Lord just kind of put on my heart, like, how much are my kids like these trees, right? And so I started researching, like, how long does it take for the average tree to produce fruit? So on an average, it takes about 5 years for a tree to produce fruit. Oranges or other citrus tree can produce fruit in as little as 1 year. You've got peaches at 2 years, apricots 7, and then you've got the baobab tree, which is about, it can take up to 200 years, y'all, to produce fruit. That's crazy, right? 200 years. So 1 Corinthians 3:7 says, so neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. So God grows, but it is all in his timing. It is all in his timing. Whether it's the fruit on the actual tree or the fruit in our children, it is all in his timing. So if you are in this room right now, you probably, or you might feel like you have a baobab tree in your house. You might feel like you are pruning and watering and pruning and watering and pruning and watering for months and years on end, and you're seeing little fruit. And you see other citrus fruits around you, or moms of kids with that are citrus trees, and they just come out all fruity, and you're like, all fruity, yeah. And you're like, what am I doing? Am I a bad mom? And I just want to say, I get it. It is hard. It is hard to have a kid that you're pruning and watering and pruning and watering and pruning and watering, and you still don't, you just see little glimmers of potential fruit, then like the bud falls off, you know, like it just, like, it's hard. It's really hard. So I also want to say that I realize that my story can be nowhere near as hard as some of y'all. You might have a big diagnosis or health issues. And so I'm going to share some practical tools that just might not be applicable to your kid. But I pray that the truths that I share from God's word can encourage everyone. And the last thing I want you to do is to leave these doors feeling like, I need to do these things. I need to do more. But I pray that you would feel encouraged with any nuggets of truth. So the first thing I want to share with you is that you are not alone. I once had someone say to me just this past summer, she looked at me and she said, you must have pretty chill kids to want 5 of them. And I literally laughed out loud. I was like, we chose to have 5 kids. We actually chose to have 4. That was the plan. And then my oldest son had 3 little sisters, and he kept praying for a little brother. And even though we told him we were done, he kept praying. And then it softened our hearts to actually pray and ask God if we should have another. And we felt maxed, but we felt the Lord opening our heart to one more. We rolled the dice. He got his brother. So now we have 5. But we did not have 5 because they are easy kids. We had 5 to bring more light and beauty into this dark world. 5 kids can often be really, really hard, especially with some baobab trees in there. But I know hard does not equal bad. Between all 5, we have almost been asked to leave our school due to constant interruptions of class that now we know is ADHD. And what that looks like is hyperactivity, impulsivity, lack of focus, a constant need to make sounds, throw things, touch things. There's some explosiveness. There was even talk about self-harm because of how much they felt like a bad kid due to their ADHD. There were even attempts to run away when they felt really overwhelmed. And we praise Jesus that we are out of the hardest of that season with that kid, and we found some really great tools to help our ADHD kid. But just the daily maintenance of ADHD is still really hard. We have a second kiddo that has similar focus issues. We've had 3 kids in occupational therapy for sensory issues, 2 different in counseling, 1 currently in counseling. We've had many talks with teachers at school, many, many, many talks with multiple kids and student leaders here, our leaders here at Watermark. We've had our kids being sent out of class, one of our toddlers, for disrupting class. And we have 2 that can throw some epic tantrums and can scream. You can put in time out and they will just scream for 30 plus minutes straight to a point of going hoarse. So there's lots of screaming, sibling conflicts, disobedience, repeating things, especially for my ADHD kids, every single day, and honestly, every hour in the Caldwell house. I do have one citrus tree, y'all, and she came out wanting to obey and serve and care for others, and I'm so thankful for that. But they can also struggle with pride and perfectionism. And so they all have their unique strengths and weaknesses that God will use for his purposes and his glory. They all produce fruit, but in their own timing, in God's own timing. And each one of them is such a gift to me. And it has been a gift to me to have both baobab trees and a citrus tree in my house, because it is so clear to me that they come out that way. Like, it is not a reflection of me as a mom. They literally are born that way. They are wired. Some are wired, and there's a spectrum, right? But some are wired to want to please and want to obey. Some of that, one girl, when I would tell her no as a young baby, she would cry. The next one that came out, I told her no, and she looked at me as a baby and laughed. And I was like, oh, this is not going to go well. And it has not in some ways gone well. Love her. She's so great. But like, I mean, it's just true from a very young age how God wires them uniquely. So the first thing I want y'all to hear is that you're not alone. The second thing I want you to hear is that God wants to grow us. God wants to prune us through our kids. As a mother of hard kiddos, we get to grow in Christ-likeness in ways that others will not. We get to be refined to experience more of his abundant life here on earth because of the trials we endure. We are growing in peace and patience in ways that others will not. And God's going to use that in the future in some amazing ways if we allow it. James 1, 2 through 4 says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet various kinds of trials. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." And I don't know about y'all, but I am far from perfect and complete. And the Lord, it is hard to count it joy some days. But that God tells us we can, and that he's using it for his good and his glory in our lives and in others' lives. So God wants to prune us, but the good news is he also wants to nurture us. And the primary way he nurtures us is through abiding with him. We can do nothing apart from Jesus. John 15:5, "I'm the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, it is he that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." This has never been more true. I've never felt this scripture more in my life than I have in the season of motherhood. I have never been more consistent in my quiet times in this season of motherhood because I feel so desperate for Jesus. Every single day, I feel exhausted and overwhelmed with these kiddos, and I know that I need him, or I am not going to be able to pour out Jesus to these kiddos. And just like I didn't do a great job at the end of vacation because I wasn't abiding in the way I should have been. And so what that looks like for me usually, and not on vacation, is that I'm not a morning person. So it feels like the great and holy thing to do it in the morning, and I've just never been able to do that. And I would wake up newlyweds with my husband, and he would be doing his quiet time because he's a morning person, and I would like sit with my Bible and my head would go back and I'd fall asleep like every single time. It was so bad, y'all. And so I've started doing it in the afternoons, and that's been a really great fit for me. And it's a really great fit because it's like the reset button in the middle of the day. And so what I've done is I do it during nap times, and that's just a part of our family daily rhythm, is that everybody knows it's quiet time. So even on homeschool days, when all the kiddos are home, the baby goes to nap and they all go to their own rooms, and they just have to have quiet time. They can listen to audiobooks, they can finish up schoolwork, they can do anything quietly. Now, do they come out and interrupt? Absolutely. Like, do they? I mean, it does not look perfect, but I'm striving for that because I so desperately need that time with Jesus. I mean, their times are coming out and I'm like, leave me alone, I need to get my time with Jesus. Like, I'm just so stressed, you know? And I'm like, do you see this? I need it. Y'all, please go to your room so I can actually get this time with Jesus. Another great scripture I really love is 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. It says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances." And I think this is true, especially for mamas of hard kids. We have to choose to rejoice always because that's not going to come naturally. We're going to be overwhelmed always and stressed out always, but like to actually rejoice always, to praise God for your kids, to think about specific ways that you can praise God for them. Praise God in front of them. Praise your kiddos in front of others, that they would know and believe how highly you think of them. I remember one time my kid was like, that kind of it's hard for him to think highly of himself. And he was like, I don't know why you think I'm so awesome. And I was like, well, we're winning. If you think, know that I think you're awesome, you know, like you're winning. Cause there's days when I struggle, right? And so praise God for your kid. Pray without ceasing, moment by moment, in the hard moments especially, to take a deep breath. Praise God. Pray to God. Pray for his strength, his patience, his peace. I often, when I'm in the middle of correcting or having that instruction moment with a kid and it's clear that their heart is just hard, will just raise my hands and just start praying over them and praying that they would believe the truth of God's word and the gospel and not believe lies. And it was really sweet on this trip that in one moment, my two siblings were having conflict and one kid started praying over another sibling, which wasn't received super well, but it was sweet to see the fruit of him seeking to go to God in prayer for his sibling. And he wasn't wrong. The sibling needed Jesus. And so it was a sweet moment. And so pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. So gratitude is a game changer. And this is something the Lord, for a few years ago, really changed my life through gratitude. And it was actually through this amazing book, 1,000 Gifts Through God's Word, if y'all have never heard of it. But it just changes your perspective that gratitude transforms everything. And gratitude is the medicine for so many things. It's the medicine for feeling stressed, for feeling overwhelmed, for feeling entitled. It's a game changer. When we can truly stop and look around us and start praising God for the multitude of blessings around us, it fills our heart with peace. And so, I just think it's so critical. There's been research shows that, right, the more we choose gratitude, it changes how our brain is wired to choose more gratitude in the future. And then when we choose to complain or have a bad attitude, that our brain will naturally go there in the future more. So some days I can get on repeat. I don't know about y'all, but mine can be like, I'm not going to survive this. I'm not going to survive this. And I'm like, that's not a helpful thought, right? Like, I am going to survive this. This feels really overwhelming. Praise God in those moments. And so these things together, abiding, rejoicing, praying, giving thanks, will give us the perspective we need to love our hard kiddos and to know who we are in Christ. Because I don't know about y'all, but as a mom of a hard kid, I carry the identity of being a mom of a hard kid around on my shoulders sometimes. I can feel like a bad mom. And I see multiple of you nodding your heads because you know what I'm talking about. I can feel like such a bad mom. And especially as like an elder's wife, like I'm like, my kid just show a babe. But it's like, it's just not true, right? Like they are all created uniquely and differently. And I'm not here to impress anybody. Like I'm here to be faithful. And so, but I can really carry that weight. And I'm a people pleaser. And so just like add that load on. And I can just feel the weight of it. And so I just want to help y'all release that burden that your identity is not in your kid. You saying like, I am a bad mom is not true. Now, I'm not saying that we're not going to make bad choices sometimes. And there's moments where we are not being our best self. In general, if you are sitting here and seeking Christ and seeking the best for your kid, like you are not a bad mom because your children are struggling. And so if you are the mom of a baobab tree and your kid seems really hard, you're not a bad mom. If you see a mom with a bunch of citrus trees, they are not a better mom than you, right? I've got a citrus tree and it's so good because I know that it's not one or the other. Like it's just the way God created them. They're just a different tree. Right? And they're producing different fruit in his timing. Our identity was stamped on us as moms when we trusted in Christ, if you have trusted in Christ. If you have not believed in the gospel that Jesus came to earth to die for you so that you can have a relationship with him both now and eternally, that is where life is. And that is where you're going to be the best mom and be able to produce fruit to pour into your kids. But when we trusted in Christ, that identity was stamped on us permanently, right? Like God tells us who we are, not our kids. And so here's just some scriptures that tell us who we are in Christ. And these are scriptures I cling to and I read over, especially on the hard days. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. 1 Peter 2:9, But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You are chosen. You are loved. You are created for unique purposes that he created you for before you were ever born. He created you to be a mom of this kid before you were ever born. He knew, and he wired you, and he picked you to be their mom. And we've got to cling to that truth. And these kiddos too, right? They were created by God. And God knew exactly what he was doing before they were ever born. He made it for him, made them for his purposes, and to be the exact tree that God made them to be and to bear fruit in his timing. So another way that God wants to nurture you is through the care of others. Trees are not meant to be isolated on a hill by themselves, right? When they're surrounded by other trees, they're safer from storm and wind and rain, and so is the same for you. You are not meant to do this alone, especially as a mom of a harder kid carrying that load. You can't do that alone. You need help from others. Find your community. Ask for help when needed. Since the beginning of time, children have been raised in villages and in true communities, and now we are so isolated, and we have to seek that community out even more. But just don't be afraid to ask for help. I'm constantly, when I feel like I'm consistently just overwhelmed, I'm like, okay, Lord, show me where I need help. Show me where I need to ask for help. And there's a lot of people that help me care for my kids. My mom helps take the younger ones on homeschool days. We have cleaning help. We have babysitter help. We have a girl that comes in the afternoon that watches my little kids while I cook dinner. I mean, I just am keep like, okay, Lord, what else do we need? Because it takes a village. One of the biggest ways you can do that is to communicate well with your husband, because y'all have got to be on the same page, because y'all know, like, hard kids can be really divisive to a marriage. It can cause conflict if you're not on the same page, because you can want to parent it differently. And so if you're not together coming up with a game plan, there can be divisiveness there. And so that you're consistently communicating, getting some good date nights, maybe swap kids with a family so y'all can get date nights, whatever you need to do to get that time so that y'all can be on the same page. That's so critical. Join a community group here at Watermark or a local church. We use our community group for so much to process. Should we put our kids on meds? Should we do counseling? They can speak truth. They're around your kid too. And so have other people that are speaking truth into your kid's life too and how you should parent. Start a play group or a mom's night in your neighborhood, because there's other moms that really want to connect too. So lead out in that. Use our mentor moms. Millie is a great one. There's several great mentor moms. I have called her before and been like, Millie, I just don't know what to do. And she's been a great tool for me. And so y'all use those mentor moms. They want to be here for you. That's what they're literally here for. And so use those when needed. I've mentioned some other ways I've gotten help. And then lastly, I will say that if your kid is continuing to be hard and other people in your life are like, yeah, it seems like you could use some additional help, consider getting professional help. There is no shame in counseling or professional help. No shame. And there's sometimes a stigma with that, and there's no shame. Watermark supports good biblical counselors, and we would encourage anybody. And one girl asked me after class last time, when do you think you should get professional help? I'm like, well, if you're considering it, it doesn't hurt to go get a consultation. And that's not the truth. I'm not saying for all of you to do that. But if you're in a place where you really feel like that might be the next step, explore that. There could be some really great help there. We're currently at Sparrow House doing PCIT, which is this like parent-led counseling thing. I can go into details if anybody wants to hear a bit more about that, but it's been a blessing to our family. So if that's you, then don't be afraid. There's zero shame in needing that kind of help. So we've talked about how you're not alone. God wants to grow you. And now we're going to talk about how God wants to grow your kids. And so he wants to grow your kids through nurturing and pruning. And so the biggest way that we get to nurture our kids is through discipleship. And discipleship is one of the greatest privileges. It is what we are created for as parents, to pour truth and love from God's word into them. There are tons of amazing, of great resources here at Watermark, and books and programs, all the things. And so for us, what that looks like is we really do more of our intentional discipleship. Clearly, discipleship is all day when we walk and we sit down, right, all the time. But our intentional discipleship is at dinner time. We really fight for that dinner time. And sometimes it's very rare, but we really try to fight for that at night. And we started with this book. It's called In This House We Will Giggle, and it's great for young kids because it teaches one godly characteristic and a scripture to go with it. And then they have to repeat that. And so we've transitioned now to where we picked, kind of do our own 12 things. We call them the Caldwell Commitments. And they're 12 things we want our kids to know before they leave our house that we want them to like deeply be rooted in. And so it can be like love God first, love like Jesus, be a peacemaker. This month it's dwell on what is true, good, and beautiful. Because I want my kiddos to know that their thought life is important and what they set their minds are is so critical. And so when they're talking about potty talk or scary things or other things, we will say, are you dwelling on what is good, true, and beautiful? And so at dinner time, they have to say their Caldwell commitment. It's on a board, and they have to say their scripture before they can leave the table. And that's kind of our intentional discipleship time. It does not look beautiful. Kids are screaming, running around. We're correcting. It's not just this don't imagine perfect, like, but we're making it happen, right? So that's how we choose. It's our primary way of discipleship, or one of them. One-on-one time with your kid is so critical to nurture them. And so another habit that we do in the Caldwell house is we have movie nights once a week. And then since we have 5 kids, we rotate taking one-on-one time out. So I took one of the girls down to the butterfly gardens, another one kid, we went rock climbing, and it's just the time to have fun and enjoy, especially with those hard kids. Like, you need that fun time, right? Just to enjoy, to grow their hearts towards you and your heart towards them. And especially if you have other kids, it's hard to find that time in regular daytime. So to really try to fight for some one-on-one time with you. Counseling has us, our Sparrow House Counseling has us doing 5 minutes of child-led play with one of our kids right now. And that's also been a really beautiful thing. So however works for your family to find that one-on-one time with your kid. We also, to nurture our kids, do like a reward system. And so they get coins. If I see any tiny bit of fruit, y'all, right? I mean, just any small, like anything, I'm going to praise it like crazy, because they say, right, you need to be praising. Like, it's like what? 10 affirmations to 1 correction, which, like, if you have a hard kid, you know that ain't possible. So at least make it more. Like, at least do the affirmations more than the corrections, right? And even that's really hard when you have a kid that you're correcting all the time. And so I'm trying to just praise everything I can. And it's like, I don't know about y'all, I just forget sometimes. Like, I'm in the praise, and then I'll go a couple days, and I'm like, oh yeah, I need to be praising my kids. Like, it's just hard to be in that mindset all the time. But we give ours coins, and they can build it up to earn a toy or whatever they need. Another way to nurture them is just to speak truth into them. Words matter. You are kind. You are loving. You are obedient. The more you tell them they're obedient, the more they will be obedient, right? The more they think you believe in them, the more they're going to step into that. So to speak truth into them. And the last thing for nurturing your kids is just to have fun. And I'm going to be real honest and say that I am not the naturally fun mom. Like, I'm the natural, like, discipleship. Yes, let's go. You know, but like, I'm not the fun mom. And so I used to be fun at some point in life. I motherhood kind of, the hard kids can kind of strip you of that a little bit. So like really working on being the fun mom, right? And so I recently have started, because, you know, when you get real stressed and overwhelmed and you just want to yell because you're like, just please get in the car, put on your shoes. Like, why are you not listening? And my ADHD kids are like, what am I supposed to be doing? I'm like, getting in the car, putting on your shoes. Like, I have pictures like listed out. So they have no like reason to not be doing what I've asked them to do for the 10 millionth time. I've started singing. And so instead of like, get in the car right now, I'll be like, get in the car, get in the car. Y'all, and it sounds ridiculous, but like, it helps me get some energy out. Or sometimes I'll do a little opera and be a little crazy. I'm not going to do that for y'all, but like, it just like getting that, like, because you have this energy you kind of need to get out because you're feeling real stressed and overwhelmed, and it helps get that out in a fun way, and they think it's silly. And so this is something that I've been trying to do, is have more fun, sing, throw a dance party, start dancing, be crazy, you know, like, have fun. And I'm learning, and if any of y'all have tips for how to be more fun mom, I'll take them, because this is some way I really need to grow. So God wants to grow our kids through nurturing. He also wants us to grow them through pruning, right? We need to prune these trees. And for our hard kids, it takes a lot of pruning. And so when I can wake up every single morning, my best days are when I wake up in the morning and I say, Lord, my kids are going to disobey me. Help me to prune them today. Like, they're just going to. And when I expect them to obey, it does not go well for me. So to wake up, to know my clear boundaries and consequences, to have a plan, post them on the wall. I found that's really helpful for kids, for they know exactly what's going to happen when they disobey. They know exactly what's going to happen when they're unkind or hit or hurt or yell or scream or whatever, for them to know. Make it simple and the consequences doable for you and your family. Don't make it harder on you. Sometimes I make the mistake of doing that. I'm like, why did I give them that consequence, right? And so for us, again, this might not work for you. This is just what I found. I used to do coins. They would get coins if they obeyed. They would lose coins when they disobeyed. Well, for hard kids, they would just be losing all their coins. And so I've separated those. So we do the positive separate from the negative. And so now our negative is that they get 5 straws. They're literally just straws in a jar. And I will tell them twice to do something. And if they don't say yes, ma'am, and do it, they will lose a straw. If they are unkind to a sibling, scream, yell, do something like significantly unkind, they will go to timeout and they will lose a straw. And so at the end of those 5 straws, it gives me a quick way to kind of discipline them, because sometimes it's just so hard. Like, do we have time to like do a timeout every single time? It can be hard. And so I found that that's really effective, because when they lose those five straws, they're in the room either for the rest of the day, if it's at night, or for like an hour, like a significant amount of time where it is not fun. And so we found that's really effective. Now, multiple of my kids will hang out at that 1 straw amount for like a really long time. You know, on vacations, I change it to rubber bands. So they all have 5 rubber bands and they have to give me one. And so, you know, it's a bad day when I have like lots of rubber bands on my arms, because I'm like, it is not going well right now. And then they use their rubber bands to like earn money on trips and stuff. So that's been an effective way, because we know we need that discipline even on vacation, right? So those are some ways that we prune in our house. Follow through. I used to think that it was showing grace to not give a consequence, but I've learned that honestly, the grace is being a mama of her word. And so when you tell them that you're going to do something, follow through, you will see fruit much quicker when you're pruning quicker, right? And being consistent with that pruning. Use your pruning to share the gospel as much as possible. So our first baobab tree that has been corrected a lot, our ADHD kid from a very young age, I would share the gospel with him as much as possible as a young kid. And I will tell you that he has such a strong faith. He was baptized last year, and he has such a strong faith. And I know that's the Holy Spirit, but I also think that him hearing the gospel like 1,000 times as a young kid, like, really helped, you know? And so the God's going to use these strong-willed kids in great ways. And I think also the pruning is just a really great time to point them to God's word, whether it's writing out scripture or pointing to scripture, or just talking about a scripture that combats a lie that they're believing. So just pointing to gospel and God's word as much as possible in those moments of pruning. So in summary, you're not alone. Your identity is in Christ alone, not in your kiddo's behavior. God wants to grow you through abiding and getting the help you need. God wants to grow your kiddos as you nurture and prune them. Each kiddo is unique and will grow in their own way in God's perfect timing. And is perfect, and for his perfect purposes. So before I end in scripture and prayer, I wanted to share a couple of resources that have been really helpful. I shared one in just choosing gratitude, 1,000 gifts. It was a game changer for me. But these are two specifically in having hard kids. Sally Clarkson, I would highly recommend her. She's like the grandma of all, she has 4 grown children that are all amazing, godly people. She is just like the most amazing person, mentor ever. And so she has lots of books, a podcast, everything. But this book is called Different, and it's about her son, her journey with her son that has OCD and anxiety and ADHD. And so it's just really a great tool if you're kind of in a hard place like that with your kid, to see how she processed that and worked through that. And then Abby Haberstadt, I'm butchering that last name. This is her second book. MS for Mama is her first, which is also excellent and has some really great practical and gospel-centered tools. But this is her second one. It just came out last month, and it's Hard is not the same thing as bad, which I don't know about y'all, but if you have hard kids, that's such a great handheld. Yes, it's hard. Yes, it's hard, but it's not bad. Hard is not the same thing as bad. So love those, some great resources. And now I want to close in prayer and just pray these scriptures over y'all. So if you don't mind, bowing your heads and turning your hearts to God. Dear God, we just thank you for today. I thank you for each one of these mamas. I thank you that they want to be a mama that is spirit-filled and led by you. God, would your Holy Spirit fill our hearts and our minds and our homes and our children. I pray that you would save all of our children, that they would all come to have a true faith in Jesus Christ. I pray that you would give us wisdom to love each one of these kiddos, to make them feel loved and cherished and known, that you would give us wisdom and how to love them best. We praise you for these precious children that you have entrusted to us, God. We thank you for them. Would you give us the perspective and wisdom and peace and patience that we need, God? And we thank you for your word. Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you in my righteous right hand. Isaiah 41:31, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. 2 Corinthians 12:9-10, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness so that the power of Christ may rest on me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weakness, insults, hardship, persecution, calamity. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Galatians 6:9, and let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up.